Why do some people ask so many questions? Some people ask a lot of questions. Why are some questions really just statements in disguise? Why are some people always interested in what's coming next? What are we doing after this? What are we doing after that? Why are some people always trying to control everything, it seems like? And why are other people laying real back, not doing anything, almost asleep? Why are some people always trying to do everything perfectly? How is it that other people are always in the right place at the right time and give the right gift? How is it that other people are really good at reading an audience and knowing exactly what they want when they themselves have no idea what they want? Why are some people always trying to be different, like they're looking for themselves? And why are some people always so worried that there won't be enough? And why do some people ask so many questions? I mean, do they just not believe anything that we tell them? Some people ask a question and you give them an answer, and why is it that they don't believe what you said? It's like they don't trust or they don't have enough faith. And why is it that Jesus is not more helpful? Why does Jesus always say, "Will you come and follow me? Will you reach out and touch me? Will you listen and obey?" Why does Jesus always say everything in a parable? Why do some people ask so many questions? But sooner or later, we can't ask any more questions. Sooner and later, we have to make a statement. We have to make a confession. And so at the headwaters of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And even though Peter and the disciples are filled with questions, sooner or later you can't ask any more questions. Sooner or later you have to make a statement. You have to say something. So they say, "Well, some say Elijah." "Say a prophet's name." "Oh, say a prophet's name." "Jeremiah." "Some say Jeremiah." We could answer that question in our tradition. Who do people say that Jesus is? We could say some of the words from that great gospel tune. "Master," "Savior," "good, good," "Lord." We can strengthen that. "My personal Lord and Savior," we could say. We could say what the Reformers said. "Prophet, priest, and king." Good, good. What else? We can say what Peter says. We could say Christ or Messiah. That's good. We could say what John the Baptist would say. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb." That'll get you pretty far. Get around the block on that a few times. We can answer as the tradition has answered. And that's all good. But Jesus keeps asking questions. Why do some people have so many questions? He says, "But who do you say that I am?" He's intensified it. He's made it personal, hasn't he? Who do you say that I am? Well, now restating the tradition is not enough. Saying what John says, "Oh, you're the Word incarnate. You're the creative principle of the universe. Nothing came into being if it wasn't because of you." That's not enough now. Now he's asked us something personal. "But who do you say that I am?" And despite all the questions that sort of teem in our souls, we have to make a statement. We have to say something. I remember the first time I went to Maryville, Missouri, to Conception Abbey. and I decided I would sign up for spiritual direction, which is an ultimately weird thing to do. Because you sit in a room with someone you've never met before, and you talk about personal spiritual matters. So I was sitting across from this monk, weird, who's a priest, weird. And so he said, "I bet you think this is weird." And I thought, okay, you might be onto something. And he said, "Well, let me explain this to you, and let me help you understand, because I know you're a Presbyterian minister, and I want you to know I did a PhD at Princeton Seminary, so I speak Presbyterian." And he went on to tell me a little bit about how he understands spiritual direction, and he said a lot of fancy words that probably he learned at Princeton. He said things like incarnational, he said things like sacramental, he said things like ecclesiological, and then once he saw that I was really confused, he said, "Jesus asks us two questions, and these are the two questions I want to ask you. The first one is, what do you want me to do for you?" That's the question Jesus asks you. But the second question is, who do you say that I am? And for days, I pondered those two questions. And I met with him again before I left. I had to figure out, who do I say that Jesus is? I know the tradition. I know what lots of people have said about Jesus. But who do I say that he is? And that's the question that's asked of you. Who do you say? Your answer is not someone else's. And it might not be the last answer you ever give. It might only be provisional, like a picnic lunch that you just take for a time. But it is your answer. And my answer was very simple. I said, "Well, I think Jesus is my brother." He said, "Oh." I said, "Yeah, I don't have any siblings. I don't have a brother or a sister. I think maybe I want Jesus to be my brother, someone who isn't judgmental, but gives advice, someone who's done it before, someone who will go with me, someone who will help me, someone who will always be with me, someone who's stronger than a friend." Friends seem to come and go, but family is always there. I think, Father Patrick, Jesus is my brother. And he said, "That's a good start. That's a good start." And so that's a question that's asked of you today. And Jesus doesn't judge. He wants you to answer that provisionally for right now, for a time. Who do you say that I am? So Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He kind of gives his answer on behalf of all the disciples. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." There's Jonah again. "Simon, son of Jonah, as confused as you are, blessed are you, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, you are Peter, and upon the rock," Peter, Petros, "upon the rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It was like when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God." It was almost like Peter had to push down the question he really wanted to ask. There are so many questions and anxieties in Peter's heart. He had to push down the next question, which is, but Jesus, who do you say that I am? If I say who you are to me, will you tell me who I am to you?" It's almost like Jesus knew that already. Because then he says, "You are Peter. And upon this rock, upon this faith, even amidst anxiety, I will build the church." My favorite dead theologian is Hans Urs von Balthasar. Because of his name, I could sing a song about it. What a name. There's a von and an Urs. I have no idea what either of them mean, but I love it. And I started reading this guy years ago. And in the first book I ever read, this is what he said. "Simon the fisherman could have explored every region of his ego prior to his encounter with Christ. but he would not have found Peter there. For the present, the form summed up in the name Peter, the particular mission reserved for him alone, is hidden in the mystery of Christ's soul. You track with that? Simon could have looked and looked and looked forever, and he never would have found Peter. He could have gone to California in search of himself, but he never would have found Peter in California. He only finds the identity Peter within the soul of Jesus. Jesus tells him who he is. And so von Balthasar goes on, each time Simon follows the understanding native to Simon, he will go dangerously astray. Whereas, he will always hit the mark when refusing to confer with flesh and blood, he attends only to his commission, which reveals the Father's will to him. He'll always go astray when he defines himself. But when he takes this definition that Christ has given him, when he takes this identity Christ has given him, he'll always be on the right track. There's the train, which means I'm almost done. Jesus asks, but who do you say that I am? And we have to answer. We have to give some kind of a provisional answer. Sooner or later, you run out of questions, friends. You've got to make some kind of a statement. You've got to have courage and just try. And as we do that, we can also ask Jesus, but Jesus, who do you say that I am? And Jesus gives an answer too. And then we both just kind of stand there looking at each other, like how you're looking at me right now and I'm looking at you. And there's silence. Because sooner or later you run out of questions. And when you get to that moment of kind of fulfillment and peace, even if it's only provisional, then you can stop. And so can we. Amen.